Two other things to just point out that are coming up a little later in the month here. This is Sanctity of Life Month, where we just continue to praise God and thank Him for what He has done in creating humanity, loving us enough to send a Savior, and in particular focusing on just the right to life that all should enjoy. So on the third Sunday in January, the third Sunday in January has been designated as Right to Life Sunday. And this year, as we've done in the past, we're going to take a love offering. That'll be on January 21st. We're going to take a love offering in support of CareNet, our local pregnancy clinic here in Santa Maria that ministers to women who are pregnant and maybe facing an unexpected pregnancy, especially ministering to them, their families, helping them through a difficult time with counseling and providing some of the much-needed items that they need as children are brought into this world. So we're so appreciative of their ministry to the women in our community, and we want to be a blessing to them as well. So we'll be taking a love offering in support of that ministry on the 21st. And then lastly, the last Sunday of this month will be our annual business meeting. And this will be a chance for us to just reflect on God's faithfulness and praise Him for all that He's done in this past year. You don't have to be a member to stick around for the meeting. It'll be immediately after our morning service here on the final Sunday of the month, the 28th. You'll have a chance to hear from all of the different boards and committees and ministries of the church, find out what's going on here at Pine Grove. And so we invite you to stick around for that. We'll be serving lunch afterwards downstairs. And I don't believe we have any sign up yet, either out in the lobby or online, but you can look for that this next week. Just let us know that you plan on attending so that we can be sure to have enough food to provide for everybody. That'll be January 28th. For those of you who are on various boards and committees in the church, particularly those of you who lead those boards and committees, this is the meeting that we do the written annual report, and we have that available for everyone in the back. So those of you, I'll be emailing those of you who are responsible for those reports, but make sure you get those into Julia in the church office here at least 1 week in advance. So get those to Julia by January 21st. Those are the things that are up and coming, and we have reason to praise God for all of those things and so much more. So let's take a moment again, and let's ask God's blessing now as we look into His Word. God, as we hold Your Word in our hands and we reflect on what it is that we're holding here, that this is Your Word to us, that this is what You inspired human authors to write, that God, it was done without error, that it has been faithfully preserved through millennia, so that what we hold in our hands today is exactly what You desire for us to have and to know. God, that is yet one more reason to praise You, that You have faithfully provided and preserved Your Word to us. And so, Lord, now we seek Your instruction. As we look into it, God, show us Your truth, that we might see, Lord, how it applies to our lives today. Even so many years after it was written, it is just as relevant. So I thank You, God, for this time. And again, we seek Your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. So those of you who have spent any time reading through various portions of Scripture know that the book of Psalms, the Hebrew song book, if you will, is absolutely filled with verses leading us to praise God. There are so many different psalms, entire psalms in some cases, that are devoted to praising the Lord, but I don't know, I think out of the 150-some psalms, there are at least 174 some different instances of praise to God that are recorded in those verses. Praising God, giving thanks for who He is, for all that He's done for us. For instance, the opening verses of Psalm 103, probably familiar to some of you who have read through the Psalms. It begins like this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." And again, as we've been doing already together this morning, we have so many reasons to praise the Lord. Again, that's a big part of what we seek to do here. Each week that we gather together, we sing praises to the Lord in song. We praise Him for the things we learn from His Word. We praise Him for the gift of salvation offered through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's something about praise that I think it comes easy when things are going well. When stuff is good in our life, it's easy to praise the Lord, or at least easier, right? Even if it's not the first thing on our mind, if somebody says, wow, things are going great, praise the Lord, we're like, yeah, you know, things are going great, praise the Lord. We praise God for answered prayer. We praise Him for His provision. But do you find that it's harder sometimes to praise the Lord when things aren't going well? When there's difficulty in your life, trials, tribulations, struggles? It's no less important for us to praise God in those times, but I think it can be more difficult sometimes. There was a great example of praising God when times are good, praising God when times are bad. A great example of that actually showed up in the 2012 Olympics, of all things. Two different Christian athletes who participated in the games on behalf of the United States took the opportunity to praise God after their respective competitions. One praised God in victory, the other praised God in defeat. When Gabby Douglas won the individual gold in gymnastics, one of the things that she said when she was being interviewed afterward was, "I give all the glory to God. It's a win-win situation. The glory goes up to Him, and the blessings fall down on me." Later, she took to Twitter, and she quoted from the verse that we read out of Psalm 103 together this morning. It was a wonderful testimony, praising God for what He allowed her to accomplish. Another Christian athlete, however, had to endure a much different experience. Olympic marathon runner Ryan Hall was forced to drop out of the race at the 11th mile due to a hamstring injury. So years of training, winning races, I think he still holds the record for the half marathon. He holds one of the fastest times in the U.S. for the marathon. All of that, winning races to make the Olympic team, only to not be able to even finish the race. But this is what he tweeted out the morning after he had to withdraw from the marathon. He said, "God is so good. My circumstances have the possibility of shifting my perception of His goodness, but His goodness never changes." I thought, man, that is a strong example, to have to have endured that kind of disappointment and to be able to say, you know what, God is still good, even though this probably colors my perception of it. It's not because God is any less good. It's just I'm feeling kind of poorly right now, but God is still good. God is still worthy of praise. And we need to continue to praise God regardless of the circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Now, of course, that's nothing new. We see that time and again in Scripture, and I particularly see it recorded in the passage that we're going to look at together this morning from the book of Daniel. We left off our study of Daniel at the end of November. We took the month of December to focus on Christmas and God's greatest gift to us. But at the end of November, we finished up at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 18. We had just covered the first 18 verses of Daniel chapter 2. And what we saw is that Daniel and his friends were presented with a very serious problem. In fact, it wasn't just Daniel and his friends, it was all of the wise men, quote-unquote, of the entire kingdom of Babylon. They were all facing this problem together. The problem was this: Nebuchadnezzar the king had had a dream that troubled him. And so he brought in all of his wise men and said, "I had this dream that troubled me, I want you to tell me what it means." And they said, "Not a problem, king. You tell us what the dream is." They had all of their books and different things that they could interpret. "Well, this means this in a dream, that means that in a dream. You just tell us what you dreamed, we'll give you the interpretation." Nebuchadnezzar said, "Hold the phone. I want to be sure that you guys are actually qualified to do this, essentially. So here's what I'm going to say. You tell me what I dreamed, then I'll know I can trust your interpretation of what it meant. And I think that probably took them aback, and they said, okay. Just tell us the dream, and we'll interpret. He's like, I see what you're doing. You're just trying to bargain for more time here. My mind is set. You tell me the dream first, and then you can tell me what it means, and then I'll know that we're all good here. And they balked at that. They protested. They said, look, king, you're a great guy, most powerful king in all the world right now, and yet there has never been a king or ruler, however great, who's ever asked anything like this of his wise men. What you ask for is impossible. No person can do what you're asking us to do. And his mind was made up and firm, and he got so angry that he said, fine, that's it. You can't do it. I can't trust you. And he dispatched his guard to execute the entirety of all of the wise men in his kingdom. So, as these people are being rounded up for execution, when Daniel heard of it, he went to the king and just asked for more time. Give me time. Give me a couple of days so that I can do what you're asking us to do. And it seems that Nebuchadnezzar was willing to give the time if someone was able to do what he requested. So Daniel came back to his house, and he, along with his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they entered into a time of prayer together, seeking God's compassion, seeking his help to do what no one else would be able to do. What the boys showed us in those opening verses of Daniel 2 was that when the bottom falls out in our lives, we should fall to our knees in prayer. They immediately began praying. So this morning now, a little over a month later, we're picking up where we left off. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 2. Probably just a little way past halfway in your Bible, you get to Psalms, and you've got some of the larger prophetic letters that follow the Psalms. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then you get into Ezekiel, and finally to the book of Daniel. So Daniel chapter 2, and what we find as we pick up here in Daniel chapter 2 is that God answered Daniel's prayer. And the very first thing that Daniel does is to give God the praise he deserves. And he does it in private prayer, and he does it in public testimony. He gives God the praise he deserves. There's a lot going on in Daniel chapter 2. It started with a problem, which led to prayer, which led to praise, which led to proclamation, and at the end of the chapter, we find it led to promotion, that Daniel and his friends were elevated in the kingdom. We're only going to look at Daniel's response to God's provision today, and there's much that we can learn from his example. Three things to me stand out as we look just at Daniel's praise here. One is that we should praise God when it's easy. Like I say, I think that's maybe easier for us when things are going well. We should praise God when it's easy. But two, we should also praise God when it's hard. When things are difficult, God still deserves our praise, so we should praise God when it's hard. And then thirdly, we should praise God because he's faithful. God is faithful. God will always do what he's promised to do. And that's yet another reason that we should praise him. He's faithful. So here we are, Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Our passage is filled with praise for God, and one of the first things that we are encouraged to do, I think, by Daniel's example, is to praise God when it's easy. So I want you to listen to the praise that sprang from Daniel's lips as I read verses 19 through 23. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel and his friends prayed together for God's help. And during the night, God revealed the contents of the king's dream to Daniel in a vision, leading Daniel to praise God. Probably one of the easier times to praise God, right? When God has answered your prayer, when God has provided for the need, those are times when I think it is easy, and I would hope it's natural for us to praise God and to thank him for what he's done. This is just a beautiful prayer of praise recorded in these verses. Daniel began his prayer by encouraging that constant praise should be given to God, that his name, all that he is, all that makes God, God, that he should be praised forever and ever. His praise should be unending. Daniel next lays out two explicit reasons for his praise. He acknowledges both God's wisdom and his power. God's wisdom is clearly demonstrated by his knowledge of the details of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Not only did he give Daniel the interpretation of what it meant, but he gave him the express details that were contained in the dream, and we'll look at that next week. But down in verse 21 and verse 22, Daniel further praises God for being able to reveal that wisdom and knowledge, because God alone is the one who knows those profound and hidden things. In this context especially, he knows Nebuchadnezzar's dream, something that no one on earth besides Nebuchadnezzar could possibly know. God's power also spurs Daniel's praise in verse 21. God is the one who changes the times and the season. He sets up kings. He deposes kings. God completely controls the different eras and events of human history, and he is able to change them at will. And that includes the reign and power of Nebuchadnezzar. And friends, that includes the reign and power of any of our governing officials in our country today, or any governing official around the world, that God is still the one who has allowed that individual to occupy that position for this time. And that God can still, at will, either put that person there or remove that person. In this time, in Daniel's time here, I'm sure Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, that those two entities, the king and his kingdom, seemed to have all the power during this period of Daniel's life. It was the greatest kingdom on earth in those days. They had conquered Israel. They had taken Daniel and his friends as captives. But as Daniel sees the truth of the matter here, what he realizes is that Nebuchadnezzar is a king, and he only has the power he has because God has allowed it. God was the one who put Nebuchadnezzar on that throne. God was the one who controlled how long he was going to remain there. And Daniel concludes his prayer with thanks to God for graciously granting their request in verse 23. Look at it again. To you, he's now speaking directly to God. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. One of the things that strikes me about his praise here is that Daniel seems to just automatically assume that the knowledge that he has received is completely accurate. He hasn't even had a chance to verify it yet and to say, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, so here's what I think your dream was about. He hasn't even had the chance to talk to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's already convinced, nope, God said it, I believe it. That's it. I praise you because you have given the answer. I don't even have to find out if it squares with what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed or not. I know it's right. Not only did God answer his prayer, not only did Daniel praise God for answered prayer, he praised him for the answer before he knew it was even accurate. That's faith. Daniel further praised God and gave him glory for the superhuman wisdom and power that Daniel was about to display as he revealed the king's dream and interpreted it. That, again, was God at work. This was an incredible answer to prayer, an answer which clearly led Daniel to give God the praise that God alone deserved. And as I said before, this was probably one of those times when it was easy to praise God. Oh, wow. Our lives were on the line. God came through, gave the answer to our prayer. Wow. Praise God. And I think we too, we should praise God when it's easy. I would hope that we would do that so much that it becomes our natural first response to praise God when it's easy. Praise God when he gives you the answers to what you've been praying about. Praise God when he provides for the needs that you are experiencing. Praise God for his blessings in your life, for the love that he's shown you, for the loving people that he has put around you. Praise God when it's easy. That's not the only time, though, that God is worthy of our praise. Daniel's life also shows us that we should praise God when it's hard. We might miss this one if we don't look a little closer at what's happening here, because a casual glance shows us the problem that Daniel and his friends were facing. They prayed about the problem, and God answered in a very specific way, so praise God, right? All is well. Daniel immediately requests to be taken to the king in verse 24. Take a look. Therefore, Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. Maybe taking a little credit for himself here. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery was not revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Now we're going to pick up the specifics of the dream and its interpretation next week. For now, I see Daniel demonstrating concern not only for himself, concern not just for the lives of his friends, but for all of the wise men of Babylon. Hey, don't put any of these guys to death. Take me to the king, and I'll do what he's requested. Not only does Daniel provide ultimately the details of the dream and the interpretation of the dream, here he even reminds the king of the circumstances which preceded the dream. Nebuchadnezzar was lying on his bed. getting ready to knock off for the night. And as he was laying there, before he fell asleep, he began pondering what would happen in the future. Maybe he was wondering about his own kingdom. How long will my kingdom endure? What will my kingdom, what kind of a mark will it leave on the world? And Daniel again here gives God the glory by telling the king that the God who reveals mysteries, the God in heaven, the one God who can do what the king asked, that God used this opportunity to make known to Nebuchadnezzar, here's what's going to take place. So the question that maybe isn't right there on the surface is, okay, so what would have made it hard to praise God in this situation? Well, first of all, we need to remember that Daniel and his friends and all of the wise men of the kingdom are already under a death sentence. Their lives are literally hanging in the balance. Nebuchadnezzar has already dispatched people to wipe out the entire lot of them. Daniel was going in to present to the king what God had revealed to him. He was trusting that it was correct. Now, if it wasn't, if Daniel got in there and said, this is what you dreamed, and Nebuchadnezzar says, no, it was not. You know what? You can just off with his head, because that didn't work, and take the rest of them out too. But there was another problem. As we'll see when we look at the details of the dream next week, Daniel was about to explain something to Nebuchadnezzar about his dream. Here's what your dream means, king. Oh, ruthless king who wanted to kill every one of us for not immediately doing what you had requested. Daniel was going to have to reveal to him that the kingdom of Babylon, everything Nebuchadnezzar had done and hoped to do, wasn't going to matter much in the long run because it was not going to endure. There would be a succession of kingdoms that would follow his, and all of them would ultimately be supplanted by God's kingdom, which would never be destroyed. You see the risk here? Daniel was about to do what the king had requested. He was about to fulfill the king's request. But at the same time, I don't think he was going to tell the king what the king wanted to hear. It was possible that Daniel was about to go from one death sentence to another. But he still praised God. When Daniel was taken to Nebuchadnezzar, the king asked if Daniel was able to provide both the dream and its interpretation. And Daniel's response was essentially the same as the other wise men that we saw back in verse 10. Hey, look, there is no one who can do what you have requested, king. Nobody can do that. But verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And here again, Daniel gives God praise. How easy would it have been for him to just answer yes to Nebuchadnezzar's question? So are you able to tell me the dream and its interpretation? Yes! But instead of just saying yes, he says, no, nobody can do that. But there is a God in heaven who can do that. God reveals mysteries. And Daniel's praise continues down into verse 30, where Daniel says that there's nothing in himself that makes him more able to do this than any other person. It's not about Daniel. It's not about his own innate wisdom. It's entirely God's revelation of the answer. And so, God alone deserves the praise. It can be hard to praise God, or even to want to praise God when things are difficult. When things are going wrong in our lives, it's hard to praise God. When the answer hasn't come yet, when the need is great and God's provision hasn't shown up, when you can't see things ever getting any better. But God is still deserving our praise, even when it's hard. Daniel's words in verse 28 should serve to comfort believers today. There is a God in heaven, and we can call on him to supply our needs. We may seek him for wisdom beyond that which we might naturally possess as humans. So Daniel's example to us here is praise God, even when it's hard. One of the things we praise God for, I think, serves to help us praise God when it's hard. We can praise God because he's faithful. In spite of the danger involved in giving Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the dream, there's three reasons that Daniel could still praise God, even in the face of that difficulty. And each of these three reasons speak of God's faithfulness. First, although Daniel didn't yet know how everything was going to work out for him or his friends in the future, there was already evidence of God's care in the present. God had displayed his greatness and his goodness to Daniel in simply letting him see and understand Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God was actively answering that prayer. And now what providing that interpretation to the king would mean for Daniel's life, that was still uncertain. But God's grace was already evident. God answered this prayer right here and now. None of the other wise men, quote unquote, of Babylon, none of the rest of them had any clue what the king's dream was. Only Daniel had that information, and he only had it because God had revealed it to him. So Daniel could praise God for his present faithfulness. The good that he could see right now, despite what he could not yet see. The second reason that Daniel could praise God is God's goodness and faithfulness in the past. God had already preserved Daniel and his friends. Back in chapter 1, when they sought not to eat the king's choice food, God gave them favor in the eyes of those who were over them. And again now, in delaying the execution order while they prayed together, the fact that Daniel asked the king for more time and he didn't say, nope, I've already given you guys enough time, kill them all. Okay, I'll give you a little more time. As they pray together to seek the Lord's intervention, provision of the answer, God had already done those things. And I think the past gives us plenty of reasons to praise God, even when the present isn't going so well. In verse 23, Daniel praised the God of my fathers. And in so doing, Daniel was reflecting on God's faithfulness to the Jewish people throughout their history. God had led them out of slavery in Egypt. He had provided for them miraculously in their escape and in their years in the wilderness. He had given the land to them, which he had promised to them. God had continued to honor his covenant with them, even in those times when they turned their back on him. Even in this present time, when they had been sent into exile in Babylon, it was still governed by God. It was still being used as part of his ultimate plan. So Daniel could praise God for his past faithfulness. And thirdly, Daniel could praise God for what Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed about the future. Again, next week we'll look at the details, but Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about a statue, and he saw that statue being crushed by a stone that became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And the stone was meant to represent the coming of God's kingdom, a kingdom which would endure forever and ultimately points us forward toward the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Now, this revelation didn't get rid of the present crisis. Daniel understood the dream, but that didn't change his immediate circumstances right away. Daniel and his friends were still captives of Babylon and would serve in Babylon for decades to come. Their lives presently still hung in the balance. They didn't know how Nebuchadnezzar was going to respond to this interpretation of his dream. But God was still displaying his long-range plans for the future to Daniel, and that was worthy of praise. In the same way, I think God's faithfulness shows up in our lives in those same three areas, past, present, and future. We can reflect on God's faithfulness in our lives. Our lives are filled with reasons to praise God for the good we can see, even though, Like Daniel, there's still so much we can't see yet. Praising God helps us to face our problems. Praise focuses our minds on God's greatness in such a way that I think sometimes it helps our trials to seem even just a little bit less intimidating than we would find them if we didn't recognize God was still on the throne and working out his plan. Now, our problems don't just evaporate because we praise God, but I think our hearts may be a little less prone to despair when we are praising God. Sometimes it feels like the bottom has dropped out of our lives, doesn't it? Awful things happen. Maybe the problem is finances. Maybe it's a family being torn apart. A loved one suffering a grave illness. Maybe something else has gone wrong that hurts so deeply that you can't even like say it out loud. How do we face difficulties like that? How can we? I think we can start by thinking of just one good thing. One good thing that God has put in your life right now. I guarantee you there's more than one. Just think of one good thing that God has put in your life right now, in the present, and praise him for that. Start right there. Next, we can remember some good thing God has done for us in the past. And we've all got plenty of those too. When you think of that, praise God for that. Finally, we can thank the Lord for the fact that he will yet do good things for us in the future. The fact that you are alive today means that God is not done with you or your witness, the witness that you can be to others of his grace and his faithfulness. Daniel's example to us here assures us that when we praise God, no matter how difficult things may be now or in the future, that we can know we're still in God's hands. That God will not let go. That he has not left us. We can praise God for the good that we can see, knowing that there is grace at work that we may not yet be able to see. Praise God because he's faithful. All right, but what if there is nothing? What if there is nothing that you can identify in your life right now, today, as you sit here? I can't think of anything that is good in my life right now. Because life can feel pretty bleak sometimes. Even then, we shouldn't give up on praising God. The Bible doesn't ask us to look for a silver lining to our problems. Oh, well, you know, it's all miserable, but, you know, there's this silver lining. What the Bible helps us to do is to see God. To see that he is faithful in the present, in the past, and he will continue to be faithful in the future. What Daniel saw as a future promise of God in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, at least in part, he saw something that's already an element of our past. The rock, Jesus Christ, has come. He has conquered sin and death on Calvary's cross. Despite our current problems, our heartaches, the greatest possible thing in all creation has already taken place. Jesus has paid the penalty, dying for our sins. He rose in victory over death, showing that he had completely defeated sin and its power. Our current problems, they're not going to endure forever. They won't. Christ's kingdom will endure forever. So the things we may face in the moment, the unfairness, the injustice, the pain, the difficulty, those things ultimately will end. Everything will be put right in God's perfect plan and at God's perfect time. for that future, we definitely can praise God as well. Even in the midst of our present problems, praise God because he's faithful. Daniel's response to his problems and God's answer was to give God the praise he deserved. In private prayers and in public testimony, and we should do that same thing. We should give God the praise that he deserves in our private prayers and our public testimony. I think there's a way in which we can bear a lot of things. We can bear almost anything if only we can see God at work in our present circumstances. And one thing we might learn from Daniel's experience to us here is that there may be times where we won't see God quite clearly enough to be comforted and strengthened. Maybe we won't see that as clear as we could until we start praising him and focus on saying, you know what, God, you are still worthy of praise. I'm gonna do that as I pray. In fact, I'm going to do that in front of other people. You know what? Yeah, things are miserable right now, but I still got to say, praise God. He still loves me, and I know he's still working on things. And I trust him. I know what he has planned for my eternal future, and that alone is reason enough to praise him every moment of every day. Don't hesitate to give public testimony to God's faithfulness and goodness. When others ask you why you have hope, even in the midst of the difficulties you're going through right now, why you're hanging on, tell them it's because God loves you and because God promises to be with you through it all. I don't know what struggles each of you may be facing this morning. You could very well be in the midst of the greatest crisis of your life. What I do want you to know is that I will pray for you. That I will stand with you to encourage you in whatever you're facing. But more than that, what I want to encourage you to do is to give God the praise he deserves in your private prayers and by public testimony. Friends, God has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He is there even in the midst of whatever present difficulties you are facing. So persist in prayer. Persist in seeking God for his provision and for his answers. As you wait on him, look to his faithfulness. Look to his faithfulness in your past and praise him for it. Identify just one aspect of his goodness and faithfulness to you right now today and praise him for it. And know that his promises for your eternal future through faith in Christ are wonderful things. And praise him for it. Praise God when it's easy. Praise God when it's hard. Praise God because he's faithful. Give God the praise he deserves in your private prayers and in public testimony. Let's praise him together right now. God, you are good. You are the veritable definition of love and goodness. God, we recognize your compassion and your care for us, the mercy and the grace that you have demonstrated towards us. God, we can see many things, many ways in which you have shown your faithfulness to us over the course of our lives. And I pray, God, that you would give us even clearer vision to see that day by day. God, you deserve praise. So let us be found doing that constantly. Let us give you the praise that you deserve. Let us do it in our private prayers. Let us do it in our public gatherings. Let us do it no matter where we are or when it is. Let us be found praising you. Thank you, God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and as we prepare ourselves to celebrate around the Lord's table, let's sing the song, O Come to the Altar.